There's a lot of ways I can approach this, a lot of things I can cover, and no way I can begin to get through it in a half hour. So I thought I'd cover two things that seem to be cropping up again and again as we talk to people. And assuming someday I'll be back and I can talk about the history of the thing. But one thing I thought I'd be interested in is the announcement birthday. They're unreal. Within a month of announcement, no one killed the budget. For financial reasons, for business reasons, it was a no-go option. We had a double this time. And for those of you that don't know enough across the business side, one of the things that was interesting, in the development class, there was the engineering group and those guys from the field, planners. They always kidded us because we were on mahogany row. We had wooden furniture. The engineers didn't like that. The fact that we came in with a minimum of 10 years background, and the engineers didn't like us for 2-3 years out of college, didn't make any difference, but they were technically sharp. And planning was kind of looked down on in the development lab. And it was an uphill fight. And thank God for guys like us and Frank. I mean, they began to see the light. And Bo Evans, I did my career in planning. I was ready to go back to the field. And Bo Evans said, Shell, why aren't we marching types that can talk to engineers? Stay here with us. And I spent most of my career in planning. Let me talk about the announcement. Courtesy of the Department of Justice and the Robinson-Patman Act and all those other boogie words that the federal government was handing us, we were concerned about making sure we had a profitable program. And that consisted of two elements. Number one, making sure the costs were covered. And the costs had to be covered against forecasts. If you spent $1 million on a program, you sold one, your cost paid was $1 million. Sold a million, the house gave the cost of the buck. I've now got a budget. I've now got to find the right numbers. So we had to get official forecasts. And all of this was done back in Mississippi County. And we go back and we get these forecasts. Unfortunately, I have a forecast for signs of the 1401 that was a regional CDE. He could not make the machines work. So they asked them to keep statistics on service calls. So they kept adding up enough numbers and they said, we need people in forecasting. He knows how to add up numbers. Let's put them in forecasting. And I met my friend Tom. One of the calls we made, he worked for the department in New Jersey. We made a call on the unemployment department in the state of New Jersey. And I said, Tom, come with me to the field and get an appreciation of what we're trying to do. So we go into the office, and one of the questions he asked is, do you have any jobs where you read the data from a punch card and punch the answers into the same card? He said, well, of course. And I said, do you do that because you want the answers in the card, or that's the way you activate the printer? He said, that's the way we activate the printer. Huh? So we go out and I said, what do you think? Class A prospect, right? No way in hell they're going to buy that. So what are you talking about? They told you they wanted to punch the answers in the card, so they're not going to buy it. I said, but I explained to them that they could get the results just as fast. He said, that's the trouble with you. You do the hard sell. Nobody else does it like that. What the hell do you think our salesman is doing out there? But anyway, he came out with an outflow forecast of 2,100 to 2,200 euros. I did a reverse cost estimate and figured we need 5,200 units to make our cost chart. I did my TSA, planning sales estimate. I go into that if you want to, but it's trivia, a lot of detail, everything else. I projected 11,000. They wouldn't budge. And we went into an escalator. 2,200 killed the program. And we fought and fought and fought. And finally, we compromised on 5,200 as a 5-year forecast. We got approval to an app, not because it was profitable, but not because they thought it was a good deal, but it was more profitable. Because they found out in his dying shot at filling the program, for every 1401 we sold, we would displace that with unit record equipment, and the net gain was zero. Why should we announce a new product and incur all the expenses and all the risks and all the training to break even? Tom, you're making me upset. So I sat down and pulled out my accounting degree, and I said, what will it cost us to manufacture the unit record equipment, and how much would we have to spend in manpower to maintain it over the life of the program? And we found out that we could achieve the same revenue for half the cost. And we decided to announce the 1401 not as a growth vehicle, as a profit enhancement vehicle. And we sold the 5-year forecast in 5 weeks. And the last time I checked on the program, we installed 14,000 machines. I don't know what happened to Tom.
So what did you got promoted to
I'm sorry?
You got promoted to a spot that he was obviously more qualified.
Yeah. Obviously, you had some success, let's say, 5,200. That meant that you had a manufacturing plan of 5,200.
Yeah.
And our delivery was 5,000 in 5 weeks.
We were strained. We were strained. The manufacturing challenge gave us this. We built 5,200. I mean, that was our plan. Now, it sounds crazy. I mean, a program as obvious as the 1401, with all the market acceptances, and incidentally, I've heard questions about tape, I've heard questions about the disk drive, the console, the memory enhancements, and all that. We started out building it as a 407 replacement. It was an advanced accounting machine. And for those of you that ever wired a 407 plug board, thank God for stored programming. The last 407 that I installed, in those days we didn't have systems engineers or civil system service girls, you wired your boards. And I was converting an account from running demand installation. It was a payroll job, I had a tight deadline, and I'm wiring the 407 boards. And I ran out of temporary wires. And my pliers to take out the permanent wires were broken. You ever start pulling wires without the pliers? My fingers were bloody. The wires were that thick. I'm not even And this was the payroll board. And this was the inventory board. And this was the billing board. You know, look at how aligning research. The cost of the power, the heat dissipation, besides the investment in the boards was tremendous. So we started out building a 407 replacement. And my friend Tom said, how can you believe your forecast, your PSC? You know, you have so many accounting machines to displace. I said, what about all these calculators? He said, you can't take credit for the calculators. The machine can't calculate unless you get the special feature. I said, the special feature is a special feature because most of the business jobs can be handled on a program subroutine basis at no loss of speed. Well, I don't know if I believe all that. He would not accept the fact. Oh, shoot. The punching the answers into the same card, a screw up these specs, forgive me. We had an 800 card minute reader, a 250 card minute punch. So if you've literally got to get the answers in the same card, you're slowing the throughput down to 250 calculations a minute instead of 800. And Tom factored the reduced speed, the necessity to punch, the refusal to accept calculate as God. And that's how we answered our compromise. And the 5200 was merged. And manufacturing jumped through zero. Now, we had a sale, a phrase in sales and marketing called the shaft philosophy. Sell the hardware and they go transfer. I sold the 1401 and transferred to San Jose. All the accidents. But there were also questions. Oh, how do you get the printer on that? The printer was not designed for 1401. The printer was designed to be an offline print edit control unit for the 700 series. Take the formatted tape and put it through and just print them out. And then the key that came out, solid state in 58. And the print edit control unit was a tube machine. So we said, okay, let's take the 1401 control unit and make an idiot version of it. So it will do offline tape to printer converters. How much money do you think you save by taking the logic out of the stored program control unit?
That question is so
good. You got it. So then we announced the 1401 Model D, I think it was, which is the tape to printer. We didn't say that. But as long as you got the printer on it, let's make an accounting machine out of it. How do we end up with the 1400 number?
Yes.
Arbitrary. That's it, exactly. I wanted it to be the 650, excuse me, the 450. We had the 402, 403, 407, 450. It's a calculator. And the powers that be said, we're running out of numbers. Let's go to four digits. The 1401. Did anything to do with the 1400 positions of memory that were the entry system? Absolutely not. It was an arbitrary number. And I was livid with this. And somebody is fooled. It's the 1401. I mean, it's crazy. The things that you get excited about.
What was your situation? I mean, how was your reaction to all these things at this particular time now?
My reaction?
No, your reaction.
I was too busy to find out. Well, trade. They came along. Invariably, you know, we had worldwide development responsibility. 50 cycle. Yeah, I know. Look at the 50 cycle. I know about it. WAM did play, we did have a lot of liaison with them from the WAM project. But, planning in European, in the international labs, was first in mind to working in my system. So what we did was hand it off directly to my hand.
Now, when that's the point where we should get one shipped in and say, get it off the truck in the morning, and have it running that night when we walked out to the OA code on IR.
There were a lot of little things like that. Then, let me talk about the amount. Excuse me, any other questions on the forecast and the business case? Yeah.
So if you sold 5,000 in 5 years,
yeah.
How long did, on the average, did this customer actually get one of the orders?
I can't answer your question. I'll give you an estimate. We were quoting a 4-year delivery schedule right up front. I'll tell you something. My first sale in IBM was an 024 key punch. 18 months of the I mean, we had delivery schedules that you wouldn't believe. We cut in with rapidly, but we had to do sequence of delivery.
So did the sales guy get his commission in two parts then?
The sales commission, at the time I was in marketing, was broken in two parts. You earned half of the commission at the time of sale. You got half of the selling commission at the sale. The other half went into a reserve account. You earn the other half of the commission at time of installation. At time of installation, they release the deferred sales commission. You earn the installation commission over the next 12 months. So the typical salesman had to work 2 years to fill the cycle before he got any type of stabilized income. Did I lose any money on that?
Also, at that time, since you went to have a quarter for the year.
Oh, did I?
Didn't you lose the next step from being displaced?
Yes.
I'll put it closer for you.
I want a quota 150 points a month. You know what a point is?
No.
$1 a month of rent. My initial quota was 150 points. You took over territory, essentially all of them. You had 90 days to flag an account. That's critical. You didn't flag it in that 90 days, you were on the hook. No matter how long it had been installed. I was a nice green sale from the Chicago downtown office, and 6 months after I went on quota, I was 18 months in the hole. Here comes Shell, let's come all the crap! And you were very reluctant to flag an account, because you're pointing the finger at an associate. And I can remember, my wife was pregnant, I went to my boss and I said, Bob, I'm 18 months in the hole. I got my territory straightened out. I can make it. I need $800 a month to live on. And I'll make it. I made my first 100% on December 27th for the first year. I made my second 12 in March.
I raised a quarter to that.
My quarter went from 150 points to 1,500 points in 3 years. Have a good year. That's where you start.
I'm off on lots of tangents. I don't know if there's any kind of stuff. I don't know if there's any
Let me talk about the announcement. The theme of the announcement, they decided to be the dawn of a new era. And we worked on a script with the advertising agency. And I can still remember he decided he wanted some outdoor shots. Did you have the photograph that I gave you on the hillside?
I didn't bring it, that one.
Okay. I have a picture of me on the hillside. Literally, on the hillside. The dawn of the new era. You're younger. And we all those damn machines literally over the hills.
There were mock-ups.
I can still remember.
There were mock-ups, though.
Pardon?
There were mock-ups.
No, that's another story.
Oh, these are real machines.
The pictures of the announcement machine. And we wanted the pictures of the dawn of the new era. Have any of you been to the Glendale Lab in Endicott? There's a big logo. There used to be a big logo on the building on the top of the hill. And you know, if you want the dawn of the new era and you missed the morning, you didn't make it at night because the machine can't tell you where to stay in it. And the photographer set up the camera and we got an image of the sun behind the logo. Dawn of the new earth. And we're lugging these machines all over the hillside, and we had a couple of rednecks that were helping us haul them around. And one guy is sweating. He said, thank God there's no lakes around here. And I said, why? He said, that's so-and-so putting these goddamn things in boats. We started announcing it, and we needed machines to take pictures of. How many 14-0-1s do you think existed just before announcing? Two. One. It was in the set plan. And if we pulled it out, we blow the schedule. Fortunately, we got creative. This is the 1401 announcement release. Nice machine, nice system, right? Let me tell you what you're really looking at. Here is the 1402 being driven by a robot behind this. Great. This is the lobby of the Glendale Lab. Here is the control unit. And the console bunging like crazy. Because the flashlight battery sold them to it. The box was empty. And here was the printer. Jump, 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 jump. It was a robot typing, pushing it out. And here were the tape drives, and the tape was spinning like crazy. Because the guys behind them were spinning them manually. There are no cables between the boxes. I make that up.
It's not a raised floor either.
Not a raised floor, you're right. The other thing about this that I remember,
in the Continental Irish, on the book of the Irish, and there was a smile with a red panel, and a blue panel, and a yellow panel. Man, those are great backdrops. Let's put the printer there, let's put the console there, and we're running around moving these goddamn machines in front of these color panels with none of their lights. And then we started taking these pictures of film that he was going to do. I went for the numbers. It was the largest closed circuit television announcement to that point in the United States. We showed it in 120 cities to 50,000 customers. And one of the things that we did at that time, everybody was interested in the print quality of the chain printer. So we ran tests like crazy to get samples out. I sent my team to the major cities to distribute print samples. About 2-3 months later, I get a call from Los Angeles. It seems that sometime before the 1401 announcement, the Bank of America on the West Coast was interested in installing an electrostatic printer to do mortgage billing. And it did a mortgage bill with a short form eject. And they printed a copy, they made a copy of their tape and sent it to the Endicott lab. It made a lot more sense than shipping the machine out. So we could test it in the Endicott lab. I don't know what happened to the electrostatic printer, but I know what happened to that tape. It was put on the shelf in the test lab. Good test for short form eject. What are the real features of 1403? A nice short form eject on a bill. Let's run some samples. So we ran samples. We distributed them. The executive who told the secretary, Lucy, will you bring me portfolio numbers? Live data. Real customer mortgage information. That's about the time I got in. I mean, it sounds crazy, but these were monstrous problems for us. We went through what we could, but I swear we got it all.
Can I give you any bonuses for the time it was out of the question?
Citizens,
did they have any bonuses for, I mean, five-to-five business was so successful?
For the five-week vacation.
I'm trying to think of how I can answer you. No, I'm not going to start your question. I came in, okay, so look, I'm going to back up a little bit. When you left sales, your normal commission, your normal income went up, and mine did extremely well. When you left sales and went into a salary job, they averaged your last 3 years' salary. And that was your salary job, and that's what I went for planning. I took a significant cut in income to go on the plan. In the 16 months I worked on the 1401, I got 6 promotions and merit increases. I'm not bragging, I'm just trying to tell you, they did take care of us. After announcement, 5 of us were called in when the initial sales results came in. We did not have outstanding contribution award programs then, and they gave us all blank passport applications and said, we'd like you and your spouse to be our guests. The North Central Tour of Europe. You may go where you want, when you want, for as long as you want. Have a good time and send us the bill.
Wow.
I had now moved from Endicott to California with 3 young children. They paid for a gardener to take care of my house. They paid to send my children back to my in-laws to take care of them. They paid my mother-in-law a food allowance to feed my kids. They paid our transportation over. We only went to Paris, Rome, Venice, Milan, Zurich, Stuttgart, Amsterdam, Copenhagen, and London, and cruised home. Picked up my children, put all the bills together, and sent it to IBM, and charged them, I just found it, $4,700. Did I answer your question?
I know it was curious back in another day, but
it was not as structured a program. As a matter of fact, you got me going. One more story. They wanted me to come to San Jose to make sure 1440 became compatible with 1401. I'm from Illinois, my wife's from New York. She had never been to California, I had been out here once. So I said, you know, I'm not that sure, we better go back to marketing. And Bo Evans said, you want to go to marketing? You run it? I'll get you a branch manager's job. But you can do as well over here. I said, Bo, can we take a survey trip to California? Can I show it to my wife? He said, that's reasonable. Okay. A couple of weeks later, I come in the office, and there is a manager's luncheon. What's it about? Nobody knows. 10 o'clock, Bowen wants food. I go to Bowen's office, and Bowen's there, and Larry Wilson, who was the guy that moved from San Jose to Endicott, who wanted me as a planning manager, was there, and their boss, Don Spaulding, was there. And Don Spaulding said, what's this garbage about a survey trip? I said, Don, there's a lot about the job I don't know. He said, like what? And I asked him a question. He answered. I asked him another question. He answered. I asked him a third question. He said, Sheldon, he said, if I can answer all those questions, I won't need you up there. I have one question for you. Is the money right? I said, yeah. I said, so what's your problem? I said, I've been married before. She's got 3 kids. And we came to San Jose. And I had a little rest. Matter of fact, we were here for 2 years, back to New York for 4 years, back out here. I was offered jobs away. I came home one day and I said, honey, my project's been transferred too. She said, we're not going. I said, I didn't tell you where. She said, I don't care. We're not going. I said, do you know what our options are? She said, I know why not? I said, we're in high school. That was enough. I'm off on a tangent. Where was I? The announcement. Okay. We started taking this film, and we canned the video film. I was in Chicago, and I can remember that one thing we emphasized was the Prince speech. And I'm in the audience, and this theoretically is a live production. So it can, you'll see it. And I can't remember the number, or something like it. When you talk about getting bills out, here's a machine that will throw out 240 bills a minute. And the guy is just throwing them off the machine. And the guy in front of me says, who are they kidding? There's more than 240 there. And without even thinking, I leaned forward and said, like that, I know, I count them. Oh, well. We took the film, it was announced, and I've got still a half hour, haven't I?
Pretty close. Any other questions?
Any other questions of any specifics?
You've got us totally enthralled.
Oh, excuse me. I do want to mention one other thing. On the 1440, when I came out, among the things that they wanted to do was to fix some of the errors, problems, relative to 1401. Number one, variable instruction numbers. Number two, alphanumeric addressing. Number three, 1400 positions a minute. Well, we start with the 1401, that stuff was strung by little arrays with needles and copper wires.
I keep telling Robert that in particular when I worked in the state, my desk was a lady that stood there with a big magnifying glass along me and a hand strong down the door.
How do you arrive at 1400 positions?
I would love a square.
I went out and made case studies. And I went for the toughest 604, 407 jobs I could find, and that was the minimum amount that we needed to do the job. We weren't concerned about the price, of course, but one of the big debates we had, this sounds ludicrous, we had a card read-in format and a print assembly area and a card punch area, and what's more logical than to put column one in position one? Well, what's the first position? 00. Do we dare waste the position in memory? We find it for days! I don't remember how it came out. And by the time we did the 1440, we were mass producing cores in 14 bytes. Multiplying the byte was an optional feature, but we figured out the stored programming being used for peanuts. So we led the charge to go to direct numerical addressing, 4K increments, multi-divided standard, and then Bull Evans, by that time, said we need a task force to determine whether we should be compatible or incompatible. So we set up a task force. Guy Tremendigar was renegade in San Jose, and we had a guy from forecasting, a good guy from forecasting. And we did the study, and we decided the economy of compatibility was not worth the inconveniences of compatibility. And our task force totally agreed on that. And we took the guy from forecasting, who was totally objective and totally neutral, and he was going to make the presentation. And I still remember we're in front of Bo Evans, and he charts up, task force is addressing the following problem. Crook charts, remember those? And Bo says, before you start, I want you to know I am out. The machines will be compatible. Now proceed. Okay, I've rambled, but I have one more question here. Pardon?
Who was the idiot who put that selectric on the console of 1440?
I have no idea.
I don't know. And I think it was paid for CE to get those rotate patients.
I don't
know. All right. Are there any other questions?
Any other questions? I mean, I ramble all over the place.
Okay.
Thank
you. So that's enough for now. Thanks, Sheldon. And he's here in Saratoga, so he can come every week and tell us more.
Do I get mileage?